Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Atlanta Business Radio. This is Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors, a series we put together that we're bringing to you a couple times a month now to highlight the best and brightest here in Atlanta so they can guide us to best practices and lessons learned in their specific industry. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm the host today, Ryan Red Hawk McPherson. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Bonnie Buell Russick. How are you, Bonnie?
I'm great. Ryan, how are you doing?
Fantastic. It's Friday and we're wrapping up a great week here in studio. And I want to give you a moment here at the top, you know, you're with BBR Marketing, right?
Yeah.
What's new with you and the staff and the organization over there?
Well, BBR has been pretty busy, and we're starting to get even busier. We do a lot of work with CPAs who get very quiet around March and April.
Why
and
is
then,
that?
You know, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
It's a
happens every year.
Right. I did not know that.
But yeah, our phone is starting to ring off the hook now, and we're also going to be at the Association for Accounting Marketing Conference, the first week of May in New Orleans.
Fun.
So we're looking forward to that.
A whole week in New Orleans?
A whole week in New Orleans.
Bonnie, well, you don't know if you might not come back.
I might not be the same.
All right. Well, that's a place I think you've mentioned you've visited many times before, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I like
right.
I really enjoy New Orleans.
Good. So things are happening with BBR Marketing and certainly good success as the summer starts to come here. You know, school's out, travel season. Everybody's got new things going on. And some people may be traveling abroad this year and thinking about maybe expanding their business across the open ocean to other markets. And that's our today's topic here.
That's right.
And tips for businesses looking to expand beyond the U.S. So let's introduce our guest in studio today. First, let's say hello to Mr. Stafford Huff. Hello, Stafford.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
Thank you so much for joining us. You are
Absolutely.
With BNKJ. What
that's
does that
correct.
Stand for?
Babish, Neiman, Corman, and Johnson.
And what type of services are you providing for folks?
We're a traditional CPA firm serving closely held businesses, high income, high net worth individuals.
Interesting. So we'll look forward to learning more about how you're serving the community and providing the good work to folks. But let's also say hello to a friend of the network and a friend of the studio, returning guest Mark Schwartz from Schwartz International. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And so what's new with you and Schwartz International?
We are luckily as busy as ever. And again, we're a boutique international tax advisory firm. So All we work with are businesses and individuals dealing anything cross-border, whether they're moving personally or cross-border transactions.
Yeah. So business is good, right?
Business is good.
Despite some of the instability around the world, people are still looking to do business in other markets, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll look forward to talking more about that. So so here we are today, you know, looking forward to expand our business and looking what is the best way to do that for sure. So so Bonnie, anything top of mind for you?
Well, I guess I'm kind of curious from Mark in particular, what made you want to get into the international side of this business and help companies that are looking to cross borders and expand in that way?
I've always liked different cultures. And ever since I was a kid, when I started studying Spanish at the old Sandy Springs Middle School,
I just enjoyed
learning about other cultures. And that just stayed with me throughout high school and college and law school. And specifically in law school, I started taking some tax classes and I looked around and there were more empty seats than filled seats. Mm. And kind of slid into international tax, and all of us tax geeks at law school had jobs before anybody else. So it really it paid off in that sense. So that was nice.
Mm-hmm.
And through the years, you've cultivated a personal kind of resonation with the international development of business. I mean, that's you saw the money and the opportunity, but along the way, you had to really develop a passion for it too.
No, absolutely, and it's really fun because it's just complex. It's solving a puzzle, and we've just been able to develop an expertise at it and team with good folks like Stafford and BNKJ as well as other firms around the country. And it's really been fun. If it weren't fun, I wouldn't be doing it.
Right, you got to have fun at work. Well, what are some of those early mistakes you see businesses making before they start to try to expand their business across the seas?
Well, a couple things that you see a lot is people read about the size of populations in, let's say, China or India or Brazil, and their eyes get as wide as saucers. Like, yeah, we're going there. And they don't stop to think about things like how about cultural differences, much less forget about a Canadian company going into the U.S. and not realizing that Washington State business might be different from doing business in Texas versus Rhode Island versus Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these folks, their eyes get as big as saucers, and sometimes they don't stop and think, well, hey, how do I get my money in? How do I get my money out? Certain countries have foreign exchange controls. Brazil, for instance, if you don't register your initial equity contribution, you're not getting that money out without mm-hmm. some serious yeah. issues, much less right now, forget about the current government issues in Brazil. Mm-hmm. But those are probably the biggest ones, thinking that the U.S. culture is going to dominate.
It easily translates to doing this, international commerce.
Well, hey, just like you see a lot of German companies that come to the U.S. and they say, well, our products work perfectly well. We don't need a customer service department. That's been the big issue. So
really?
Not for every company. But again, it's cultural understanding is the number one issue that I think we need to educate companies about.
So identify that market you want to go into first, get a cultural understanding, the regulations of business, and what's all involved with setting up a shop in that country, and then reach out to those professionals who maybe have some insight who've done this before, like yourself and Stafford here. Mm-hmm. From your perspective, Stafford, what do you see some of those common mistakes that businesses are making when they're trying to go to market overseas?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily a common mistake, but one thing I see is that typically someone will think, okay, their tax system works like our tax system, and it doesn't. Some people coming into our country have a perception of how their tax system works, but when we say, no, it doesn't work that way, you actually have to tell the truth on your tax return. It sort of throws them for a loop. In some countries, it seems like the tax system is a suggestion, whereas here it's actually law. And so
it sounds kind of like the stoplights at certain intersections in various countries.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
California stop at the stop sign.
Exactly. Right. So that's probably the main thing I see.
And I'll tell you when it gets really crazy is, the U.S. is I think there may be one in addition to the U.S., the only country that taxes on worldwide income based on citizenship, not residency.
Yes. That's something that's hard to explain to people.
Can you explain that a little further? What does that mean? Mm-hmm.
Well, an example. I'm a South African resident, but I am a citizen of the U.S. Mm. I earn income in South Africa from various sources. I have a bank account in Greece that earns just a little bit of interest. And I have some U.S. Pension income. Why am I having to pay tax on the income I earn in South Africa and Greece in the U.S.? Well, it's because I'm a U.S. citizen,
not a resident.
Not a resident.
Yeah. And then things would be different if you were a resident of a particular.
And Mark can speak more to this, but when someone wakes up to that situation, they say, okay, well, how do I exit the U.S.? Well, that's a very complicated process, isn't it, Mark?
Well, and before Mark jumps in, I have a question on that topic. Would that person then also be taxed in South Africa because they reside there?
Yes.
So they'd be taxed twice.
Yes. And there's a credit in the U.S. for taxes paid in other countries. But that's even more complicated in the U.S. tax picture because there's different, I'll call them baskets of types of income, and you have taxes paid on each basket. And sometimes if you've got a credit respective to one basket, you can't use it against the income in the other basket.
Yes, so there's various mechanisms so that people ideally don't get double tax. So whatever you pay tax on in the U.S., you get a credit in South Africa or vice versa. Not always so smooth, but that's the general goal.
Wow. This is why you guys make the big bucks.
Yes.
Because my head's already like.
Right. And the government is not helping. They're just making more laws, more regulation, taxing more. So every year it evolves to see even more of a deeper wormhole we go down.
Well, let me just add one more item to the fictional individual that Stafford had mentioned. So besides the fact that this person realizes he or she's taxed on worldwide income, I'm sure you've heard about something called the Panama Papers.
I have not.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So, and not that anything happened that was untoward necessarily. There's a lot of speculation, but let's just say that there's people all over the world that have created companies and financed through Panama companies and And again, this is all very, very fresh. But the question is, are people hiding money? And so the U.S.'s FATCA rules and similar rules about reporting bank accounts are there. So for instance, if you're a U.S. citizen, no matter where you live, we'll forget about green card holders and residents. We'll talk about that another day.
Okay.
You have to disclose the existence of any non-U.S. bank accounts if the aggregate total of your bank accounts is greater than $10,000 on any day.
More than likely, yeah. That's
So you may be a U.S. citizen living outside the U.S., and all of a sudden, not only do you find out you got to report your worldwide income in the U.S., well, what if you haven't been reporting your foreign bank accounts or other financial accounts or stock ownership, things like that? And there's ways to remedy that issue, but it's just another surprise that people don't think about. Right.
Yeah. And we're talking a lot about the personal side of things. It must even be more complicated when you involve a business and you're trying to do e-commerce across.
Absolutely.
And these days, you know, you can be someone starting a small business in your basement and have access to the World Wide Web, and you want to sell in many different countries, but you don't have the deep pocketbooks as a Fortune 500 company to hire a tax, you know, professional to guide you through all this. What advice would you give that really small business who's trying to go on a global thing?
Still hire a professional, I would think.
Because then the taxes, the residency, trying to trade services and goods, and so on and so forth.
Well, I think Mark's initial point is understand the culture where you're going. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of information out there. Now, it's not always accurate, but there's enough information where you can do some digging and find out what the culture's like, a little bit about the tax structure. And there are, you know, different from what our perception is and sort of the way we've been talking today, there are people who want to help you conduct business properly in the different government agencies. And it's just, you know, working to find the right office, the right connection that says, okay, fill out this paperwork, you know, go through this bank, you know, do these things. So, you know, if it's a very small business, at least try and do some due diligence and try and do the right thing.
Where would be a good first step for them to go? Is there a particular government agency that's most trusted that you can begin to open some doors for you or guide you at least into some other directions of success?
You know, I've never thought about it really, but I would start with the Treasury Department.
Okay.
The Treasury Department and the IRS actually have pretty good websites.
Yeah, they do.
And so that would be a good place to start. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you've got to start somewhere as your business is growing. And like we said, their technology is making it so much easier to ship goods and order goods across the divides here in the world. So we got to make sure the plan is in place before we start going out and spending a bunch of money that's going to get us nowhere.
Absolutely. I don't know if you remember the old, I guess I'm dating myself a bit, but the old Fram oil commercials, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. We always tell our clients and potential clients that it's much easier to get set up correctly the first time when you take your time and get all the facts than it is to get out of trouble when you get yourself in trouble. Because you will get in trouble if you don't get yourself set up.
Yeah.
What does a typical client look like for you over at Schwartz International?
They're all over the place. They're about half are individuals, half are companies. Half our clients are U.S.-based, investing outside the U.S., and the other half are foreign individuals or foreign companies coming in.
So it could be any company or individual that is needing some professional services. And how do they actively find you? Do you have some people refer you, or Stafford refers you to?
Well, there's several different ways. One is we work with other CPA firms and law firms really around the country and around the world that use us to help them service their own clients. Okay. And Stafford's firm at BNKJ is another firm that's great about that. Mm-hmm. And separately, with the folks at BBR Marketing are fantastic. And they recently just helped us out with our website. And oftentimes, you know, people like to do a lot of self-help.
Yep.
You know, whether it's at the physician's office or the dentist's office or tax or accounting. And so we probably get several calls a week with folks who find us on Google. And you know, a decent percentage of those become reasonably good clients.
That's great.
So a lot of our first touch to a global client is really through our website.
Through those digital channels, whatever it may be. And that's a great way to get out there and be in front of those, because everybody's got questions, you know, and whether it be from a business side or a personal side, and you're helping it. Does your firm over there help personal individuals as well as businesses?
Oh, yes.
So both.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'd say we get less of our business off our website and more from relationships that we built up over, you know, many years. and our connections within the community.
Although I will say, sorry to interrupt you, is that they do a lot of fishing at BNKJ, and they have a great fishing blog.
They
so
do.
If you're a fisherman, yep. BNKJ's got a fantastic blog on there.
Okay, I need to check that. How can we find this blog? Do you know?
You could probably just go to our website. Actually, we're doing a new website.
It's going to launch this weekend. It's going to launch this weekend.
Countdown is on.
Yeah.
BNKJ.com is still the address?
Yep, that is the address. And if you click on blog, that'll take you right now to
and you can read all about fishing.
The angler.
Why the fishing element?
It's just something that we have in common with a lot of other people. You don't even have to be a BNKJ client or a friend. You just, you know, we like fishing stories and fishing pictures and, you know, everybody's experiences. We have pictures up there where people have taken their kids fishing, you know, deep sea fishing or what have you. And so it's a great place.
I like the fun thing. The social element to the, you know, to the business side of everything, bringing people together for a completely separate topic.
Yep.
And then they may find out about your services along the way. I'm going to have to go check out some of the big pictures on the website here at BNKJ.com for the listeners who are currently listening live and want to go there right now and see a big lunker on the line there from Stafford and the team for sure. So that's good. A good website, a good web presence, staying active in the market, doing good work, as you both mentioned, helps create new business. And then, you know, teaming up with BBR Marketing, too, I think.
It has worked well for all of us.
And one thing from our side that's been really helpful is in this day and age, as you mentioned, so many businesses and individuals are doing international things, whether it's travel or investments or setting up businesses, that our particular sales point when we talk with a lot of other CPA firms is a lot of these folks are specialties. I mean, they're specialties where you don't know what you don't know. And by the way, we practice what we preach. If we get something out of our wheelhouse, we bring in the experts right away to help us out. And so it's not just helping the clients look, helping our customers or our clients look good in front of their clients. It's helping them keep their clients. Because a lot of these firms don't realize is that if you don't have an international specialty or a state and local specialty or whatever your clients need, you may lose your client. It's not just a question of not getting a project. That client might go elsewhere where that person is going to get better served.
Yes, so you got to continue to care and feed the good business and the good clients.
In the U.S., attention for international inbound, outbound type of transactions and the tax reporting around those has gotten very, very punitive if it's not done right. And firms that are ignoring that are doing that at their peril. I don't know of anybody that is ignoring it, but I can say that the fines and the penalties that can be imposed on taxpayers have gotten our attention, and certainly we love having Mark available to help us out. I mean, he's just been tremendous. So
I will back that up and say that when we were first started working with Schwartz International and Mark, one of the things that there are a lot of firms out there that say they have international expertise, but the depth of the expertise that Mark and his folks have really does seem to be way more than head and shoulders, waist and up above a lot of the others out there. And like you say, you really don't know what you don't know. Yeah. It makes a whole lot of sense to bring them in for an engagement or something like that rather than try to figure it out on your own or, invest in hiring somebody with that experience that you may not need all the time.
Right. And we, constantly we're asking questions back and forth on different matters that are in the other's expertise. And even though it may be a simple situation with a simple fix or nothing needs to be done, no action needs to be taken, it's certainly nice to be able to say, okay, I've got this situation. Let me tell you this story. And then you take it from there and take action if you need to or leave it alone.
And that's really where the danger is because a lot of folks don't know what they don't know.
Right.
And so, when you talked about, mistakes that people make when they go overseas or maybe even a foreign person investing here and their advisors, my very first meeting, I say, okay, especially when I'm speaking with a CPA, take off your logical CPA hat or take off your logical lawyer hat or your logical CFO hat. This is international tax. Okay, it's a different game.
Nothing makes sense.
Yeah, it's just different, and so you really have to think long and hard. And what I tell people all the time is, if you've got an international tax question and you think that your answer is easy and you've got the answer off the top of your head, make sure you really understand the facts. All right, because that's actually where a lot of our business comes from. I'll get a call that'll say, "Hey, what's the withholding rate on interest from the U.S. to another country?" Well, we'll start asking about, maybe anyone can look up the tax treaty and see the rate if you get treaty benefits. But has anyone checked to see whether you get treaty benefits? What are the facts? Yeah. Is it really interest? Is it really a debt instrument? Yeah. So there's all it's getting down on the facts. And that's really where we get most of our work once we're in front of a client or a potential client, is getting them to explain to us precisely how they operate, because a lot of times they haven't actually thought about those details. Mm-hmm. And the tax answers can swing wildly based on the specific facts.
Or they call for what seems like would be a quick and easy answer, and then it turns out that you have to ask them 15 questions just to get to what it is that they really need.
Well, absolutely.
Here's a great example. Hey, Mark, how much are you going to charge me to create a U.S. company? I'm told I need a U.S. company. Well, our response is always, well, help me understand what you're looking for. And 90% of the time, we don't end up creating exactly what they called me for, because they just thought, they read something on Google or someone who didn't know international tax said, oh, well, you need a company.
Yeah. Don't diagnose yourself through the internet channels.
Yes.
but whether it's
medically,
financially or tax advice, it's just not good practice.
Yeah.
No matter what you're trying to do.
And also along those lines, it's because it's the business that's the driver, not the tax. So what Stafford and I'll do is we'll wrap a tax solution around a business. So our tax solution is not going to be administratively burdensome. It's not going to get in the way. But tax is not the driver. And that's the key.
What would you say is the driver?
I would say the business. How is your business going to be successful? In other words, hey, if you want to go into Italy or France or Zimbabwe or Japan or wherever the heck you're going today, why are you going there? Yeah. What's your profit going to be? How are you going to be business successful? And then we'll get you on
it. What's the structure? What's the compensation? What's the return? All those things.
And even things like demand. You can, a product that may be huge here in the United States may not be much of anything in Europe. You think about just things like our houses and yards and everything are so much bigger here. They probably don't need riding lawnmowers in Rome.
Or Venice.
I found this funny. I don't know if anyone's going to think it's funny, but I was on a business trip to China several years ago, and someone worked at a contact where they were selling aircraft that could take off straight up in the air. Mm-hmm. Okay. Kind of like we have some in the military.
Harrier.
And well, there you go. Well, you're the pilot, right?
No, I was never a pilot. I've just been around some planes. Okay. But you're right. It does.
Well, so anyway, was trying to sell the Chinese government, and it's really important because you save so much space.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, this is China. There's more, they're not hurting for space. No. They'd be happy to lay out a runway. Why don't you think about an asphalt company or something? Right. So anyway, again, it's not knowing the needs of your potential customer and not knowing how you as a business are going to meet.
That is so much different from each customer to each business and whatever service or product you're trying to develop in other areas. That changes all the time. And so you've got to stay, plugged in whatever that service you're providing. I have to bring this up, and without bringing any names, we are in a political season here, and there's been some talk amongst the airwaves about how of a raw deal as America is getting with taxes and trade and stuff. Do you really see that? Are we actually have an advantage from being so open and trade friendly with that? Or do you not want to touch that? Is that too hot for you?
I don't know. It's not. I wouldn't say it's too hot. I think it's difficult to say. Certainly, if you look at the complexity of the U.S. tax system versus some other countries, we have a lot more complexity. We have a lot more regulation. Not all of the regulation is bad, but some of it is burdensome, maybe unduly so. Certainly there's that. And, we do have either the highest or the second highest corporate tax rate in the world. And we have this really odd territorial type of business tax situation where companies are forced to keep profits overseas rather than repatriate them because it costs them money. Mm-hmm. And from a shareholder standpoint, why pay more tax on it than you have to? So there's a lot of reform that could take place in the international tax arena on our side of the pond, so to speak.
Because, again, the general public doesn't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
Right. And if I could just add on to what Stafford said, our tax system's broken. It's just broken. Mm-hmm. And Congress needs, I think that we need to have comprehensive tax reform. I think we need to put the current tax code in a history museum.
Okay.
Let's get some smart people up on the board and say, hey, how much revenue does the government need to run and how are we going to raise it? But our system's broken. And if it means that I'm out of a job, I can flip a pretty mean burger. Okay. I'll figure out what to do with myself.
Yeah, same here.
The amount of time and resources and energy that people put into just the compliance is ludicrous. Number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, when you layer the international tax rules or it's really domestic tax. It's the U.S. tax code as it pertains to international activities. That makes items even more complicated. And there's so much uncertainty that just compliance is a material burden.
Yes.
I think we got to start over. There, yeah. Congress keeps trying to tinker with things. And then one more, and I promise I'll be quiet. As Stafford mentioned, a lot of big companies, if they're able to defer their foreign income and not bring it back to the U.S. and not get hit with the U.S. tax and really have that U.S. tax on their financial statements, it's Congress. Congress can change the tax law.
Yes.
Yet Congress hauls the CEO of Apple to berate him mm-hmm. as to why. Yeah, I think what happened to Apple, Apple's got a lot of money overseas, permanently reinvested is the term under GAAP. Yet it borrowed money from a U.S. bank to make a U.S. investment instead of bringing the money home. And the CEO says, hey, Congress, you guys write the laws.
Yeah.
You're permitting me to do this. It's not a loophole. I'm just following the rules. Yeah. And yet right. Congress is berating him. I'm saying, Congress, do your job.
Yeah.
So anyway, to me, it's not so much a presidential issue. It's a question of let's get Congress to do its job. Hopefully we'll get a president who will sign a bill. But right now, Congress can't even agree what day of the week it is. So
right.
I'm not holding my breath.
Right. A broken system. But it's not illegal. It's not immoral. It's not unethical to do what people are doing
Absolutely.
At this time based on the way the laws are.
And Absolutely. Frankly, if you're the CEO of a public company and you've got a fiduciary duty to the shareholders, there I think could be a logical argument that says that by keeping this money offshore and paying less tax, maybe you're actually fulfilling your duties to the shareholders.
I would think you are actually.
Yeah, I think so.
In that case.
And that's not great for the US economy, arguably.
Nope.
And so now, and one more thing is that a lot of this money that is technically overseas for tax purposes, it's invested in US banks. So the money's actually here in the US. It's just owned by
it's
the foreign subsidiary.
It's filtered a different way.
Yeah.
Right. Oh my gosh, that's so confusing.
Luckily, we have smart men like Mark and Stafford here today to dissect all this for us, because I'm still I don't understand, Bonnie.
I actually have a question that might be a can of worms, but I am curious about this because, as you said, we have either the highest or the second highest corporate tax rate. Yet you're always hearing about GE paid no taxes and, you know, these enormous companies that the story is they paid no taxes.
Right.
How exactly does that happen? And is that even true?
Well, I would say that that's a false statement.
Okay.
GE, every company in this country pays some tax, whether it's payroll taxes, property taxes, labor taxes. I mean, you name it. So the fact that GE paid no tax or the statement that GE paid no tax is just false, because they own a lot of real estate, they have a lot of employees, and they own a lot of property, personal property like cars and trucks and
equipment,
machines, all that. They pay tax on all that in whatever jurisdiction they're in. So to say that they pay no taxes is false. Now, maybe they paid no income tax, but that's because the expenses of the business subtracted away from the revenues resulted in no taxable income.
And I think where a lot of people go with these big companies, they say maybe they have a low global effective tax rate. So suppose you have a significant portion of your business in a low tax jurisdiction, let's just say Ireland, and you qualify for the 12.5% rate. Well, So 12.5% rate's better than a 42% rate, maybe once you count state taxes in. But this is interesting as well, because going back to the very first question you asked about doing business outside the U.S., about once a week I get a call from an individual who says, hey, I'm going to move, U.S. citizen, I'm going to move outside of the U.S. and I'm going to defer all my income and never have to pay U.S. tax, right? Right. So what happens is these big companies like a GE, if you create a company outside of the U.S., a subsidiary, and you have enough substance there, it's an active business, you've got bodies there, you're paying payroll, you got people yet minded, and you've got people actually making decisions, well, then the earnings of that company are not necessarily taxed in the U.S. right away. If there's no real substance, so suppose Bonnie decides she's going to do BBR marketing and she's going to set up a company in the British Virgin Islands. Yeah, she just bought a yacht, right? She just bought a yacht and
I
she's building
like
a house
where
there.
You're going with this.
And so she just, what she does is she has her BVI company. You know, Bonnie's doing all the work with her team in Atlanta, but it's the her contract with her clients is with the BVI company, mm-hmm. and the invoice comes from the BVI company. But if there's no substance in that BVI company, no people doing work from the BVI company, what the U.S. says is, hey, Bonnie, the income that that BVI company earned is deemed to be distributed to you directly. So that's called non-deferral, or it's the U.S. anti-deferral rules.
Okay.
And so that's the other thing people mistake. Say, hey, Mark, yeah, I just set up this foreign company. Tell me everything I just saved. And I'm like, well, you really didn't save anything.
Yeah.
So we would have to actually physically be on the yacht doing the work, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
Then we could, okay.
Yeah. Do people really work on a yacht, though?
I don't know. I can tell you one thing, though. My staff is already packing bathing suits at this point. These women would love this idea.
I do have a similar life dream is to make a pile of money and one day maybe move to Costa Rica or Belize or something like that and live. How would that look for me as an individual, or what would I have to make sure I have in order before I make that move?
Mark, I think that's really more in your wheelhouse.
All right. And so, unfortunately, most of my answers start with it depends. All right.
Yeah.
So, for instance, here's what a lot of people think about, especially folks. I like, this is going to sound bad, but I'm very politically incorrect. People who listen to talk radio 24/7, a lot of, this country's going apart. I'm an expatriate. I'm going to give up my citizenship.
Yeah.
Right. They don't realize that that's a taxable transaction. So the U.S. will get you coming and going.
I got you.
So as long as you don't want to give up your citizenship, you can go move to Costa Rica and you're still paying tax. You're still reporting.
I'm a resident
to the U.S. government.
Right, of the United States, but a citizen maybe or a patriot.
Right.
That's how it brings back to that topic we brought up earlier, the difference between a resident and a citizen.
Right. Yeah, and frankly, what I tell people when they say, hey, I want to expatriate, my first question is, well, where are you going to go? You know, our country's got a lot of issues and our tax code's broken, and you can just, the presidential election dialogue, if you want to call it that, has been laughable at best for the most part. But I just really, I don't know where people are going to go where they think they're going to have a better life than in this country.
That's true. America's got so much to offer and so much to give, and you can do whatever you want here as well as anywhere around the country. But I don't know. I've always dreamed maybe going to catching a big fish and then uploading it to the website.
There you go.
Where else can you let people like Stafford and me be on a show called Best and Brightest?
And we are broadcasting around the world
right now.
So all 3.9 million internet users have the potential to hear us either today or later when it's replayed. And we've actually had companies, particularly a story of a company that listened to us for about a year in Colombia and then heard of us on Gwinnett County and decided to move their entire international operations to Gwinnett County based on the people and the stories they heard on Gwinnett Business Radio X. So we never know who's listening out there and who could benefit from the stories that we're sharing here today, particularly in Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors. And we're talking with Stafford Huff. He's with BNKJ. They are a CPA firm based out here in Atlanta. Where in Atlanta are y'all located?
Just a couple miles from here.
And how many on staff do you have over there?
We have about 65.
65 people total working over there. Yep. And how long have you been with the organization?
14 years.
Right. How much longer do you think you'll be with them?
Probably another 100 years or so.
All right. Well, good. You must be doing good work and good services.
Hey, Ryan, ask him what he was before he was a CPA.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. What did you do before?
I was a forester.
A forester.
Oh, wow.
Now, I'd love to talk about that.
Yeah, I was I bought timber for Georgia Pacific.
Mm-hmm. That's a big corporation, and they do business overseas, right?
Yes.
And did you enjoy that? What made you transition away from a forester into the CPA world?
Well, I went back to school just to get an MBA and took a few accounting classes, and then here I am.
Wow.
Well, I tell you what's really cool is that we have some mutual clients that their business has to do with forestry, and it's really cool because the other thing that I like working with Stafford and going internationally, same with our international clients, is you've got to have a good business sense and know the business. And so it's really cool working with Stafford on some of the forestry and timber type companies, because it's not just taxes, but wait a minute, they have to operate it this way because, the tree's got to grow. So, way above my head, but from basically planting the tree to to cutting it down is it's interesting, but Stafford's able to offer a lot of value on the business side, even though people hire him for his tax expertise.
Yeah.
Well, I would think that's true for both you guys. And talking earlier about, you know, a company wanting to move across borders, you know, it's not just like you said, it's not tax that leads that decision. It's the business that leads that decision. So being able to talk not only about the financial side of the business, but, you know, who is your competition? How are you going to reach them? Is there a demand for this product? Is there, you know, regulations that may impact it and all that sort of stuff? You really do kind of have to have a pretty broad knowledge, I would think.
Yeah. And every business has a story, and it's fun to learn that story and how they work, how they've developed, where they've come from, where they want to go. And that makes work a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love to hear. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time hearing and telling those stories. So I think that's
right. We're a curator of stories here. Mm-hmm. You know, we let you tell your story, and we have make a platform for everyone to share mm-hmm. their story. And storytelling is the oldest art form in human history. So thank you so much for sharing here today. Let's turn the conversation here in the last segment to a little bit about Atlanta and maybe the community here, since it's Atlanta's most trusted advisors and what it's like to do business here. We are an international destination city. We are kind of outshining some of the other cities who are trying to be that international destination. So from your perspective first, Stafford, what do you see are some of the positive things that Atlanta's doing to separate themselves from the competition out there?
Bringing business in. I mean, just some of the companies that have decided to move here, we're having the opportunity to work with, and that's very exciting. And this is just recent. This is just
Do you think that's the state government kind of lessening some of the regulations? Or are they actively making new policies to attract these people? What's the secret there?
I think there's a couple of things. I think it's number one, the business environment. You know, Atlanta's a vibrant city. It's got a lot of positives. It's got, you know, a good workforce. There's good weather here. There's the schools are actually, I think, better than advertised. And then I think the tax incentives that the government's put in place to help lure mm-hmm. those folks here. So yeah.
And the international airports truly helps.
Yeah.
I think ever since the Olympics, Monty, in 1996, Atlanta mm-hmm. has been on the upward trajectory of mm-hmm. becoming that city.
Oh, I think so too. Yeah.
Well, and all you have to do is step outside your office and just anywhere around Sandy Springs, see all the, you know, I mean, forget about all the potential downsides with the traffic and the infrastructure and all that kind of fun stuff that we'll just put to the side for a minute.
Yeah.
They're building nonstop. Yeah. I mean, and forget about even just mm-hmm. the stadiums, the Braves Stadium and the Falcon Stadium. Right. They're building all over Sandy Springs, and that's because more businesses are coming in every day. Mm-hmm. If I can supplement Stafford's answer as well, another reason I think for the international growth is instability outside the U.S. I mean, we talked about what's going on in Brazil. We have three brand new Brazilian clients that we just got within the past several weeks, in large part because they're scared and they left the country.
Yeah, so they need a new home.
Yep.
Why not Atlanta?
They need a home. They've got money to invest. You know, and frankly, that's tied in a lot with immigration. And while we are not an immigration law firm, we team with a lot of law firms. And ideally, what we do is we'll work with those folks pre-immigration. Mm-hmm. Because once you become a U.S. person, everything you own is under the U.S. tax net.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we try to help them with, to first point, just have them understand what they're getting into. Mm-hmm. And then if there are planning opportunities, we'll work with them.
Yeah, I recently heard that I think Atlanta has over 80 international chamber of commerce mm-hmm. represented here in town. Mm-hmm. And so that's growing. And we've featured a couple of them. The French consulate's been here. The German consulate's been in here. And so we know that the business is growing and trending that way. So we just want to continue to make Atlanta that way and mm-hmm. continue to attract businesses and smart individuals like yourself who can help those businesses grow not only around the country, but around the world as well. So, but here in Atlanta too, you know, Mark, where's your office? Where are you located?
I'm right down the street, right by old Stafford Huff's office at the NKJ.
So you guys are business partners in industry as well as neighbors here in Sandy Springs. And I'm born and raised in Sandy Springs. I've seen this sector of Atlanta. You know, I think Atlanta's a bunch of little communities all kind of networked together in one larger city, but Sandy Springs is just blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
And internationally too, you know, we've got international schools. You can go to the local supermarket and see, you know, a diverse group of people shopping in the aisles there. So if you don't like it, you better move to the country because Atlanta will be, you know, one of the most diverse cities in America, if not the world, very soon.
I love that.
Very good. So let's make sure our listeners know how they can find you. Mm-hmm. So Stafford, tell them your website or social media handles.
BNKJ.com.
BNK.com. BNKJ.com. BNKJ.com.
That's right.
And we'll have the information posted up later on the website, AtlantaBusinessRadio.com, where you can link up with Stafford and his team over there. And so so look forward to that. And what, Stafford, for you in Atlanta, what do you like to do in your off time? Do you still get out in the woods and look at trees?
Well, I've got a group that I go backpacking with, so we'll be backpacking not this weekend, but next weekend up on the Appalachian Trail. Get out and exercise some, you know, spend time with family.
That's great. There you heard it here first, folks. You can find Stafford out on the trails or hard at work behind his plush desk over there at the offices of BNKJ.com. And so please come back and be a guest anytime.
Absolutely.
And share some more industry insight. Thank you so much. And Mark, what about you? What do you do around here in Atlanta, in Sandy Springs, in your off time?
I try to get out, and my stress release is exercise.
Nice.
So just kind of whatever I can do, a lot of running and swimming.
Running, swimming, mm-hmm. Right? Are you out hiking with Stafford too?
No, you know, I haven't been invited. You know, they go with like four guys for like 3 or 4 days on the Appalachian Trail, so I think I'm going to invite myself.
That's
on the
real
next
deal.
Trip.
Actually, I want to. You talk about the races that you do, Mark, because Mark doesn't just exercise.
Okay.
Mark does these high-intensity runs, races that take 4 days and stuff like
ultra
that.
Marathon or something?
Not that long.
He grows a beard for him, too.
He does.
No, well, the latest one, it was the Mount Mitchell Challenge. And Mount Mitchell, just outside of Asheville, North Carolina, is the highest peak east of the Mississippi.
Okay.
So every year there's a race the last weekend in February, and you never know what the weather's going to be like.
Yeah, but it's cold.
So there's a 40-mile race. And then what they call the fun run, which is the marathon. Mm-hmm. But this year there was so much snow and ice that the national and state park rangers shut down the top of Mount Mitchell so we could only do the marathon. But it was great. You just run straight up and straight down.
Right. And anybody can run downhill. It's running uphill. That's the hard part, right?
Well, what was really cool is there was about 8 miles worth of just packed snow that we were running through. And that was just a good change of pace.
Yeah, right.
You know? So to me, just a regular race on the asphalt is not going to do it anymore.
Well, that brings up a good point. I wanted to mention this. Speaking of races, I'll be running in a race tomorrow, the 12th annual Pat's Run, Pat Tillman Foundation, right here at Johns Creek, Newtown Park. I know tomorrow is the event, but it's not too late to register. So if you want to get involved, go to patsrunatlanta.com. And this is the 13th annual one. I think the 7th one in Atlanta. They do it in 30 cities around the country. All the money goes to raise help for veterans for sure. So just had to get that in there for sure. But Mark, back to you. Tell us how our listeners how they can find out more information about yourself or Swartz International.
Well, when I get smarter, I'm going to have a website as easy as bnkj.com to say. It is Swartz Intel, short for international. So S-C-H-W-A-R-T is in Tango, Z as in Zulu, I-N-T-L for international.
Good. And are you on social media at all? Twitter, Facebook?
We're on Twitter and Facebook and whatever goes right on there, Bonnie does. And
LinkedIn.
Whatever goes.
Snapchat?
No, just my kids on Snapchat. Yeah, and by the way, whatever goes wrong on social media, it's because I've messed it up, not
okay.
Bonnie.
Good, good. Well, thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Bonnie, once again, for another great show. Let's remind our listeners how they can find out more information about you and BBR Marketing.
You can go to bbrmarketing.com, and we're on pretty much all the social media pages and such. So find us there.
Yeah, if you can't find them there, you don't have a computer, ladies and gentlemen. So thank you so much to listeners and our audience for joining us. If you know someone out there you think would be a good fit for Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors, please send them our way. And you can contact us through the website at businessradiox.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.